Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast episode number 458. Let go of the banana. What's that got to do with anything? Well, it's half of a title. The full title is Let Go of the Banana or Blame the Pumpkin. So reading the latest, my current book, I pull some notes from there. And one is a story about how they, I forget where, would catch monkeys. And they basically put a hole in a pumpkin, carve out the inside with a spoon, put a banana in it. The monkey would smell the banana inside the pumpkin, reach in, grab the banana, and they would be stuck, caught by that pumpkin. Now, all they had to do was let go of the banana. Arm comes out, freedom. And their brain would not let them do that. And it just went on to like how in life we hold on to things. And we're like, well, just let go. I'm like, well, and then what do? We end up blaming the pumpkin, blaming others. And I just love, when there's a twist on something that's talking about the same things. You know what I mean? It's like the same kind of, you know, core meaning. Like, how are you going to respond? How are you going to look at it? You know, what are you going to demand of yourself? Are you going to take responsibility? Are you going to take inventory? Or are you going to blame others? You know, and are you, you know, do you have that deep level of honesty to look at yourself in the mirror? And it's hard. And I kind of say, you know, in the episode that I think that would be the, you know, the takeaway of the last few episodes, and especially today, is look, if you're going to be on a path of personal growth, it's going to be one of discomfort. You know, you're going to search out what the squeaky wheel is and then deal with that. The first groove, the deepest groove, you know, coming up with a new groove, you know, all that. It's just work. And it takes a long time. And, you know, I share another beautiful monster story. And, you know, it got to the point where that later that day, I was kind of embarrassed that I had shared that to a friend. And then the next day, I was like, glad, because I'm like, why change? In that very, like, in the morning, I felt justified, validated, and right. But by that night, I'm like, who cares? How'd you feel? And I was like, wow. And I'm like, I don't. And but instead of beating myself up and wallowing in that, I was like, you know what? That's growth. I look at that differently now. Good. That shows. And I'm like, that's what I'm selling. You know, come to my well by the water I sell. That's what I'm sharing. It is worth the effort. Focusing and doing the little things consistently that add up to things that serve you, and then you become a better version of you, is worth all the uncomfortableness. Because guess what? There's going to be discomfort on the other side, in your life, in everyone's life. But if you're the best you, you're just going to make it a little bit better. So pretty stoked about how I'm doing and growing. But, you know, I say all the time, like, I'm not super excited to share some of this stuff. Because, again, I got to the point where I was a little embarrassed. And I was like, all right, I'm always transparent and I'm always going to share. So I know what I'm going to talk about and I know what I'm going to share. But it's not because I'm like, wow, I'm killing it. It's like, no, I'm better. But, man, I took a deep look at me. I asked why. I stopped, paused, I reflected. You know, and then, like, again, the biggest thing was one night I was like, I don't care how your day was. I don't care what you did. How do you feel right now? And it was just neon light, neon sign here. And I was like, well, what are you going to do? And right there, like, on me. Do A or do B. It's on you. No one cares. Do A, no one cares. Do B, no one cares. It's on you to pick and go, well, I deserve A. So I'm going to do that. And I'm going to face the discomfort. And I'm going to move forward in it. And that's just hard. That's just hard to do. That's why I do what I do. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. If you need to chat, you need to share something, you'd like to share something, interested in training, please, please don't hesitate to reach out, proupodcast@gmail.com. Would love to hear from you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, and enjoy. Hello, beautiful people. It is moi. So I'm going to share some bits and pieces from the book I'm reading. I think I've mentioned it, but it's called The Wind Is My Mother, The Life and Teachings of a Native American Shaman. And I don't know how long I've had this book, but I went through all the, you know, clearing out everything in my house I wasn't using, and I had a big bookshelf, you know, books I hadn't read or bought or whatever reason. So I went through all of them, and I'm like, you know, were the ones I read, liked, keep them, or I want to read. And I don't know, I probably kept like 15 books, and this was one of them. And I started reading it, and I really enjoyed it. If I had to pick, I mean, my tangents are overwhelming. Like 30 things just popped into my head because I paused. But if I had to put myself in a group, you know, a religious group, nationality, you know what I mean? If I had to put myself in some box that had a label where I feel I connected the most, it would be with Native Americans. I just always admired them, you know, growing up. I don't know what it was. I never thought about it, looked at it. But, you know, in the last X amount of years as an adult, I'm like, you know, they've had it really, 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 really bad in their beliefs and, you know, just everything about them. So whenever I've read a book or, you know, hear a quote or something, you know, about Mother Earth or, you know, repaying nature, or being thankful, you know, everything about them, I have just really respected, admired. It's, you know, inspired me. And again, I'm reading this book and I'm just highlighting after. And I'm like, wow, I'm going to read some of this. So this is something, you know, I hear a bunch of different phrases that are all, you know, the same core meaning. But I love hearing a new one, just a different little twist on it. I got a couple actually today, but one was in this book. And I said, a witch doctor from South Africa told me how they catch monkeys. They bore a hole in a pumpkin large enough to slip a banana in. Then they reach through the hole with a spoon, clearing out the inside, and drop in the banana. When a monkey comes around, he smells the banana inside the pumpkin, sticks his little forearm in there, feels around, grabs hold of that banana, and then he's stuck. His brain will not tell him that to free his hand, he's got to release that banana. He just holds on. There are many, many things that happened in your life that you should have gotten rid of, but you're still holding on to them. You still have a big dialogue going on. And that was like, oh, that voice, that conversation. I'm like, yeah, like, and it just was like things last week, things that day, all these other things popped in my head where I can see myself visually, like holding on to something that just got nothing to do with me. And there's a whole dialogue going on. You are given a choice when you hold on to that banana, a choice either to let go or to blame that stupid old pumpkin. If it wasn't for that pumpkin, I'd be out there free. And I thought, well, that was even a better twist. So I was going to, you know, name the whole episode, let go of the banana or blame the pumpkin. But just to, you know, cut it down, I just brought in the first half. But I was like, you know, that's totally me. Like, I don't want to let go of the banana, but I won't say, well, it's up to me. That's what I was like, no, this pumpkin is against me. And, you know, these people did it. And It really, really resonated with me. And I just thought it was a dope thing to share. We like to blame situations and people for our problems. But if I'm blaming other people, what am I doing? Let me read that again. But if I'm blaming other people, what am I doing? You know, you're blaming people. Your energy is going towards that. Coming back, is it serving you? No. Are you looking inward, taking inventory, being accountable? No. Is that serving you? No. And then this was just a cool way. When it says, there are many, many ways to let go of our bananas, so to speak. The way my people take care of something that we're not happy with is to honor and say, thank you. You've taught me a lesson. And right away, that was just boom. And I'm like, you can just look at things like that. You know, every moment is an opportunity to learn. We all know that. But you can just go, wow, that sucked. I hated how I felt. I saw a bad version of me, my beautiful monster. But just like spin that and go, thank you. That's going to stick with me. That's going to affect me. I'm going to grow from that. I'm going to remember that. Thank you for teaching me that. I mean, see, if you can, you know, if I'm given an A or B, and they're both possible, but I feel way better doing B, I'm probably going to stick with B. If it's anger, if it's hate, if it's a drinking problem, boy, you've been with me for a long time. Now I'm going to try something else, but I want to thank you for teaching me something about myself. Never try to just get rid of it. You can't. It's too strong. It's too embedded. Instead, honor it and say thank you. And then I was like, boom, beautiful monster. See, there's just all these different phrases, you know, words, whatever they are, but they're getting at that same thing. You know, I'm going to cut that beautiful monster out and just move forward without it. Nope. I'm going to hate my beautiful monster forever and move forward. Nope. Thank you, beautiful monster, for everything you did for me, for what you taught me. You know, now, not flaming the fire of you, you know, and I'm not going to allow you to shine, but I'm going to move forward. You're part of me, and I have to move forward as a whole. I can't move parts of me forward. I just love that. Never try to get rid of it. You can't. It's too strong. It's too embedded. Like, wow, yep. You know, like my anger, I would have to say this hundreds of times. It's like in that moment, it's like, let's go. And that part of me is like, yep. And I'm out the car. I'm in it. I didn't even pause to think, to count to 10, to take two breaths, to do. And it's just full on go. Like another part of me jumped out of my body. And the rest of me just had to catch up because there was no stopping him. I just had to catch up because, you know, I allowed that part of me, you know, to kind of be in charge and rule and to change all that, the dynamics of all that. Whew, it's a lot of work, people. It's just a lot of work. All right, so here's another great one. Okay, if you fill that space with something else, what you're doing is employing the law of physics. That says, the law of physics that says no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. So get it out. Put something else in. And again, that monkey mind. You know, you let it run or you can switch it. Give it, you know, something that you want. Put an idea in. If you've got a negative, put in a positive. They can't both be in the same place at the same time. So again, when you're like, oh, this is talking about physics, you know, maybe that resonates with people more. It's like, oh, well, physics, well, I'll check that. It's like, well, two things can't occupy the same spot, same space at the same time. So if you got a thought in your head that you don't like, substitute, switch it, change it out, think of a new one. And again, I don't know how old I was before I realized that. And I thought of all the years that I was paralyzed on a couch, sitting there, overwhelmed, depressed by what was in my head. And I never once thought, you know what? I could sit up, go outside, change my stimuli, implant different seeds mentally, do some breathing, and change all this. Wow. That's incredible. All right, last line I got. One marked. Here we go. One line. Thinking affects the body, so it's important how you think and what you think about. So this is what's kind of cool. You know, a lot of what I've shared lately has been what I've done, my action. You know, you can't sit on the couch and think your way out of a funk, think your way out of depression. But if you just, like I said, got up, walked outside, changed your stimuli, it's like, wow, I feel different. Like, that's all I did. Just different things would affect you. You'd look at different things, the temperature, the sun, the wind, whatever it was. You just have all this different, and all of a sudden you would just go, wow, I can honestly admit right now I feel different than I did, you know, 5 minutes ago inside my home just because I walked outside. It's like, well, okay, well, if that's possible, you know, it wasn't cement. You know, it might be more liquid than we thought, meaning, you know, I can exchange it, it can pass, it can flow. And then, you know, you kind of start planting that seed. Going, does that work? It's like, can I just stop what I'm thinking and change my thinking? And here's the great thing. When I'm doing this little thing consistently, now that's filling up that space. Nothing bad can come in. And then you have that, I did that. I'm proud. Way to go. And all those little things that you're doing consistently will, you know, tangibly affect you after time, you know, more time passes. So you've got this, if I do A, I'm going to feel good. And that will affect your body. Now, if you switch it, you're like, I'm going to think, I'm going to stay here. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to go outside. I'm not going to change my stimuli, my environment. I'm not going to try to, you know, change, you know, what's in my head. I'm not going to give the monkey mind something to do. I'm going to let it run. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. Okay, that is not going to serve you. It's going to make you feel worse. And that mental state will have an adverse effect on your body, especially over time. And see, that's what people have to realize. Again, there's a number of stories of really, really healthy people dying. Heart attacks. Why? Stress. You can be ripped, lean, crazy in shape, strong as, you know, anything. But number one killer in the world is heart disease. Number one cause of heart disease is stress. So, ta-da! You know, you know, it's like the thing I tell people, it's like someone, you know, explaining how clean and shiny their windshield is as their car drives off over a cliff. Well, what does it matter what the outside looks like if the inside is turmoil? And if you think, if I just get the outside the right way, I'll fix the inside. No, it doesn't work that way. I mean, you can look great on the outside and not fix the inside. You can for periods of time. But again, when you're doing something consistently that does not serve you and takes away from you, I mean, just guess where that's going to end up. All righty, moving right along. So those were my book notes. So I said this to someone the other day, and I said, you know, there's a lot of podcasts I've shared lately where I don't enjoy what I'm sharing. I'm not like, yeah, going to dig sharing this story. But I've been, you know, on this verbal journal experience where I'm very transparent. So, I mean, I can't ever change that. I mean, I've always kind of been that way. So it wasn't like I was doing anything different, but I couldn't, like, well, I'll, you know, edit this, or I'll, you know, limit that. I'm like, I don't have that ability, or I'm not comfortable doing that. So it's uncomfortable holding it in, and it's uncomfortable sharing some of this stuff. But that's kind of the thing. You know, I'll read, I have one Mosier note I'm going to read at the end. But this is where I grow. I mean, literally, if I could go back and just, you know, pick out a phrase from each podcast, I bet I could pull something out from every episode that talks about being comfortable, being uncomfortable. Talking about growing when you're in discomfort, when things don't go your way, when you got to dig in, when you're, you know, really got to ask yourself some hard questions. That's when you grow. That's when you learn. So if you start going, oh, I'm not going to avoid that, I'm going to welcome that. Not, I'm going to go smash my own window and see how I deal with it. No, that's not what it is. But as you go through things, it's like, oh, okay, I get to choose how I respond. That's my beautiful monster. Okay, so I need to do this. I focus on this, work on this. And you start piecing this better version of you together slowly but surely by doing little things you know, consistently. So I'm like, yeah, that's, it's not like I did a podcast and I'm like, here are the issues. And the next podcast is like, okay, so I fixed those and now I'm going to share whatever. It's a lifelong journey. I will be like this forever. I will be asking myself why forever. I will be searching for my higher self, the better version of me for the rest of my life. I guarantee it. I mean, it's just completely ingrained in me. And, you know, one of the things I've done for 8 years is this podcast. So it's like a big thing. Like I walk in this path and I'm sharing it. Kind of a big part of who I am. And I don't really see that changing. Again, my impetus has always been I like helping people. And when I share, things would resonate and it would change how they felt about themselves and they would feel better. And then thus I would feel better. And I just, you know, got into that sharing kind of vibe a long time ago. So it's always been part of me. And that's, again, you know, why I do what I do. When I say come to my well by the water I sell, that's what it is. I'm just sharing my experience. You can listen or not listen, but you don't really get like an opinion. I don't believe that story. Well, it don't matter what you believe or don't believe. You can not listen, but here's my story. I get to share it. That's what I'm doing. And so you know, no one's going to be out there going, yeah, I had a way less difficult road. My journey was pretty easy. If they're growing, if they're, you know, facing their beautiful monsters, if they're trying to, you know, ask themselves why, stop, pause, reflect. Trust me, no one's killing that. And if they say they're killing it, they're probably trying to sell something. So once again, come to my well, buy the water I sell, and that water has always been free. So I kind of had back-to-back moments in a day. And the beautiful monster is just like right in the forefront of my mind. Like I know I'm aware of that thing. And so I've had a relationship, personal relationship with a dude I met 8-9 years ago. And he owns a body shop. So I started taking it to him and he was a great dude, really like bonded with him. And then, you know, he'd take care of my car. Well, about 3 years ago, I think before COVID, it was the last time I was there, and there were two moments in a row that just didn't go well. I went to pick up, I can't even remember if it was two separate occasions, but, you know, while it was there, three of my rims got scratched. They took stuff outside, or from the inside of my car out, laid it down in the garage, and then the garage floor got wet, so all my stuff got wet, and then I came home, and I didn't have all the stuff I had. And I was supposed to get this rebate. I never got that. And so it was just all this stuff back and forth. And this guy I knew ended up going like, what do you need? You know, I'll fix any dings or anything on your car to make up to you. You know, really tried hard to make it up to me. And I was cool. You know, I just like, we have a good relationship. I made this really cool faith zone, you know, rock glued rock stack, you know, little meditation thing for him back then, and brought it in. He loved it, you know, just like this really, really cool vibe. But the whole business thing kind of bummed me out. So hadn't had a problem, you know, with the car like that whole time. Well, it was like December, January this year, I saw it kind of cracking around this back's smallest window. And that's the last job that they did. I had some dents there when a guy's smashed my window. He kind of dented the car, and I finally was like, you know what, I'm gonna get those little dents fixed. Brought it to, you know, this place, and now it's cracking and it's kind of turning yellow, and it's all around that's, you know, like the kind of the bottom around then up towards the top. And, you know, it's obviously not great looking, but I'm like, well, I know where I got it fixed. I know that's not supposed to happen, so I'll get it fixed. So just, it was raining a lot this year, and, you know, Zen getting hurt. Just, I, you know, it was never like, oh, I got to go get that fixed. So I finally had time, and I brought it in, and there's this new guy working there, and he's, you know, kind of young, and pretty cool. And I'm like, hey, I'm a friend of Ken's. Just wanted to say here's what's happening and, you know, make an appointment. I said, look, it's been doing this for 3 months. I go, I'm in no hurry, and the parking lot was packed. They had bought a rental, enterprise rental place next to them, and that whole entire lot was filled. I had never, ever seen it like that. Like, it was insane. And I looked around, these were like all, like, I'm thinking, okay, are they renting cars now or something? It was just like all cars they were working on. There was 100. And I was just like blown away. And I'm like, obviously you guys are busy and, you know, let me know, whatever it was like that. And he goes, okay, I'll call you or something like that. And I said, okay, cool. Just, you know, let me know. I'm in no hurry, you know, blah, 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 you know, whatever, just like that. And he calls me and he's like, you bring it in tomorrow morning. And I'm like, okay, it opens at 8. He goes, but I'll be here at 7. I go, well, I have a client at 7:30, so I'll drop it off at 7. He's like, okay, I'll be there. And he goes, then you can pick it up later on that day. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I get there, and it's like 5 to 7, and I'm waiting. I'm like, kind of like, you know, just feeling that little bit of, you know, anxiety because I'm there at this place getting this thing fixed. I'm dropping my car off, and, you know, I got to get home. And I, you know, had gotten – every time I left my car there, I got a rental car. You know, this guy was like, yeah, give him a car. You know, didn't fill anything out, didn't sign anything, just like that. And they were so busy and overwhelmed. Guy, like, you know, we don't have any, you know, loaners, rental. Said, no worries. I said, I get it. You're busy. Don't worry. It's like, you know, 20 minutes or something to walk home. Not a big deal. So he shows up right, you know, a minute before 7. I'm like, cool. I like this guy. He didn't, like, lie to me on the phone and forget or whatever. He's up on time because I got to, you know, I got to get out of here. And, you know, just kind of went over it and boom. And I started walking home. Like, all right. Oh, and I had to, you know, move my car earlier than I normally do. And I had to get the parking partner I have. I didn't want to wake him up because I'd never, ever moved my car that early. So it's just like kind of a lot of stress that morning. So I'm walking home. Like, cool. I got time. I'm, you know, my car's getting fixed. I, you know, got out in time, got there in time. Everything's cool. Felt good. I'm walking, phone rings, and it's the place I just went. And he goes, hey, sorry, one problem, we looked at it, and what it was is the primer didn't dry, and in my head, I'm like, okay, this is a paint and auto body place. I'm like, someone didn't let the primer, like, I know you gotta let the primer dry. I'm like, what? Like, again, that thing, like, okay, I like you guys, but what are you doing here? And he goes, yeah, it's gonna take, like, 3 days. So I just went from this, wow, I had dropped all this weight, feeling light, smiling, walking home, kind of fired up to see Zen because I never leave Zen anymore. And, you know, he's feeling better, so he'll be excited when I come home, not laying there hurt. And then I got this phone call going. I'm like, okay, I just was like, okay, go without a car for today. And, you know, kind of had that fixed in my mind, made sure I got stuff the day before, don't need to run anywhere. You know, I'm like, okay, cool. But then I'm like, okay, it's not today, it's 3 days. So it's a little bit of a shift, right? And I'm like, oh, all right. I mean, he's like, well, do you want to come back and get it? I go, no, dude. I'm like, I'm almost home. I'm not going to walk back there and get my car and come in. It's there. And I planned for today. So I'll just figure out the next 2 days. So I'm a little, you know, frustrated, but that was it. You know, nothing happened. And I think then like a client canceled right after that I was walking home to. So it kind of turned into this kind of funky moment. So it's the next day. They've had my car for a day. And I'm training this guy online, and I get a phone call, and it's from this place. So I'm like, why would they be calling? And I answer the phone, and they're like, hey, never got hands on your car, so you can come back and pick it up, and we'll just try another time. But we're going to have to leave it here for 5 days. And I'm like, got this client, you know, on Zoom. I'm like, what? I mean, I just walked there yesterday. I told you I wasn't in a hurry. You know, all this stuff just starts coming up, 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 up. So I'm like 20 seconds going, what? You, that, that. And I was like, Tom, I have a client. And I'm like, I got to go. And I just hung up. So finished training my client. I don't even call him back. And I go walking back. And the whole time I'm walking back, I'm like, dude, beautiful monster's coming. And I don't care. And I'm not trying to yell or scream, but I am completely in the right. Like, I had a horrible experience last time. Didn't want to come back. Come back this time. Like, it's okay. I don't have a rental car. You know, I don't need an appointment right away. Don't, you know, I mean, I'm like, I didn't ask for anything. You know what I mean? I wasn't demanding. I was like totally like whatever. And they're like, yeah, walk here, drop your car off. We'll say a day. Then we'll call you back, say 3 days. Then we'll call you the next day and we'll say, yeah, walk back, come get your car. We've done nothing to it. And we'll just do it all again. And I'm like, now what I'm not seeing is, yeah, that's bad. And you get to be not happy with that. But that's it. What happens to me is it's like they came over here, toilet papered my yard, spray painted my house, peed on my garden, and no one's ever doing that to me again. Because that's what my dad did. So see, that's what I'm realizing. So I get there, I go walking up, and it, you know, jam-packed, it's busy as hell. And the first person I see is my friend who owns the place. And he kind of does this smile, and he's like, hey, what's up? And then he just, like, see, and I don't, nothing. And he just, his whole face changes. Like, he's like, oh, shit. And I'm like, not happy. And I'm not going to get into the whole thing. I just went, though. I was like, boom, da-da, boom, da-da, boom, da-da, boom. I'm like, the two things you don't fuck with, my dog and my time, and I've said that forever, and this happened last time, and I came, I told, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then I go into the office for the dude that did all this, and I said, so who gave you the thumbs up to go, yeah, tell that guy to drop it off, and we'll bring it back in a day. And then, no, we'll do it in 3 days, and then, nah, we can't get. I go, who was telling you? Because, you know, Ken was gone for, or my friend was gone for a day. And he's just sitting there like, and I don't care who's walking in, who's around. I'm like just, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, my friend's just backpedaling. Like, he's just like, and then I went on this rant, and he says, you know, the only thing that's worse than that is you're exactly right. And I'm like, yeah, like, I'm like, why would I be in here talking like this? You know, raising my voice, saying what I'm saying, like being, like, why would I, like, I wouldn't just, oh, I'm going to make up some bullshit to go in because I want to hear myself talk. It's like, so I just walk out the door and I'm like, I go, get me my key. Like, I couldn't get out of there quick enough. And my friend comes walking me out, following me, comes over and he's like, we'll make it up. Just, can you come back on the 8th? And, you know, we'll get you a rental car and we'll take care of it. And, you know, any other things you need fixed. And, da, 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 da. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, I don't like coming here. I'm like, I go, you didn't let the, I'm like, your dude didn't let the primer dry. I go, I know that. I go, we're talking about painting. And I just looked at him and went, painting? Like, you know, this is what we, you know, it wasn't this, it's like the basic thing, the core of your business. And then for whatever reason, I give him a hug. Because I don't like this. I don't like what I'm feeling. I mean, I don't want to go through this at all. It's not like, oh, I'm right and I feel good. It's like I'm right, but I don't enjoy any of this. So I get in my car and I text Scott. And I'm like, dude, when you got time, holler. And I don't know where I was, but I got home and I went and got Zen. And it kind of like went away. Because I wasn't yelling and screaming. And I was, you know, justified. So I'm at the park with Zen. And Scott calls, and I tell him exactly what I shared with you. And we start going back and forth, and he's kind of saying things that are making me look at it differently already. Like, I wasn't like, hey, you walked in there going, hey, why are you, you know, peeing on my parade? It's like, oh, yeah, I didn't have to act. You know what I mean? Like, so there's little things, and that's what, you know, talking to Scotty always kind of does to me. It's like what I kind of do for my clients. It's like a, just this little mirror going, here's what it is, here's what it is. It's not a judgment. It's not a critique. It's just, you know, looking at things, and I'm in a, you know, a place where I understand that. So I can listen, you know, to, you know, the honest reflection. And I was like, you know, this, that, 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 that. So that passes. And it's like an hour later or so, and I'm rubbing Zen's leg that he had surgery on. And I feel the a stitch that I felt like a week after the surgery. And I called and I said, hey, there's this stitch. And they're like, don't worry, it dissolves. And now here it is like 4 weeks later. And I felt another one. So I'm like, well, now there's two. And then I felt this little mass, little thing behind the surgery knee. So I call the place up. And I'm like, you know, do the surgery. So I'm talking to someone else, this dude. And I go, do the things melt? The stitches dissolve? And he's like, well, take a picture and send it to me. I said, the last, you know, person I said, I talked to said to do that. I go, I can barely touch the end of it. So I'm like, how am I going to, I'm like, and what's a picture going to do? I go, I'm because I asked him like three times. And I'm like, I'm asking you, do they dissolve? And he says, well, not if they're external. And I'm like, well, there's the answer then. And I'm like, well, again, 3 weeks ago, I called the same place, talked to someone, say, hey, here's a stitch, just was in there, da 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 da. Do they dissolve? Yep. Not, well, it depends upon if they're internal or external. So I get a little frustrated. Now, again, I had a couple moments at this place that were frustrating to me. Like I can wait 20, 30 minutes, but I will wait twice 40. And that's when I just got up and like walked through the door, went wherever I wanted, grabbed someone and said, look, I'm 40 minutes. That's too long. And I just kind of pointed out, didn't care who I was talking to. You know, I'm not afraid of anybody. I don't care what people think. So, you know, that was that thing. And just the little things that were kind of miscommunicating. And I came in for this appointment. They're like, why are you here? And I'm like, because we scheduled it. I scheduled 3 appointments with this one lady and I got a reminder each time and I got a reminder yesterday and I have to reply, confirm. And I'm like, I don't know why, it was this. So anyways, I'm talking to this guy and all of a sudden he kind of gets this like, well, why are you complaining? I'm like, I just said, I'm having some, frustrating moments, with your place. He's like, if you don't like it here, don't come back. It's out there. I'm like, so I go, what's your name? He's like, I said, hey, what's your, I go, dude, tell me your name. I go, I'm going to tell the vet what you said. So tell me, and he just wouldn't. And we went back and forth like 5 minutes. And I was like, dude, I didn't call to argue these points with you. And I didn't call, I wasn't saying you suck. And he said, if you think it's terrible here, I said, I didn't use the word terrible. Like he started putting words in my mouth. And I go, bro, tell me your name. I said, I'll drive down there. I'll be there in 6 minutes. He's like, oh, you're going to threaten me? I said, no, I'm not threatening you. I'm just saying that I'm either going to walk in there and go, hey, vet, doctor, that dude just said this. Or you tell me. And I would say hung up on me, but he put me on hold. So I don't know what that was. Hold forever, just whatever. And hung up the phone, got in my car, drove there. 6 minutes later, I was there. Walked in the door. No dude at the front desk. And I'm like, nah. He ran away? Kidding. So I walked up to this lady. And I wasn't mad. I was like, I'm going to just whatever. So I tell this woman, I said, I'm having some, moments of frustration with your place. And I said, now I find out that, 3 weeks ago that they didn't dissolve and now they do, or they do dissolve and now they don't. I said, so I was a little, that was it. And this dude says, blah, blah, blah. And she says, I'm so sorry. No, that's not right. Da, 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 da. And I go, see, I go, thank you. So I was totally cool. And I said, I just want to talk to the vet. And so I waited for 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And the vet's like, okay, come back here and talk to me. And, because now I kind of have a reputation there. This guy doesn't like to wait and he'll say stuff and, let's try to keep him calm kind of thing. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't kind of care. Because when I've waited 20 or 30 minutes, I didn't say anything. And I've been really nice to some people and super cool. And some people have been super cool to me and Zen. So it's not like always just if I'm waiting 40 minutes, I'm going to point it out. And if I get 2 different answers from the same place or someone tells me to stop coming here, yeah, I'm going to say something. So I get with the vet, tell him the story. And he kind of listens but blows it off. And he's like, okay, bring Zen back and we'll check it out, walk out, make an appointment. I'm okay, whatever. So I made an appointment for Zen the next day. And then that night it hits me. It's like, you were right both times today. Justified both times today. How do you feel? And it was just so apparent. It was so obvious. I didn't like how I felt. And right away I was like, could you have gone through it and felt like, oh, good, yay, I'm happy? It's like, probably not. But, the things that Scott's saying, and now you're looking at it, and I'm like, and then embarrassment totally set in. And that might have been the next morning or whatever. Next time I talked to Scott, I was like, dude, I'm like embarrassed now that I shared that. Like, yeah, here, I'm right, and I'm going to share this story because da, da, da. And I'm like, already I had changed. And now I'm like, oh, now I got to go back there. And there's just been a couple things that were kind of adding to my plate a little bit. And I'm like, oh, so I'm like, now I'm like dreading this past Monday, May 8th. Because I'm like, that's when I'm bringing the car. And I'm like, God, I didn't like that. Again, I remember the last time I had this bad experience, but I had to bring my car back there to fix it. I'm like, well, now because they made a mistake, I got to bring my car back. And as I've already tried to, they've already jacked me around. And then I went off and I'm, talking loud and, saying a bunch of things and, kind of going off. But I didn't, curse, scream. I wasn't doing that. And that's why I left. I was like, I'm not upset. I don't care. But then it was like this higher self going, "Do you like how that?" I'm like, "No." And that's when, like, the next time I got into it with Scott, we were just going back and forth, and I was just like, "Man." And then I realized I was uncomfortable quicker. I was embarrassed quicker. My perspective had shifted, but it had shifted. It was like the parking lot. I'm never going to say anything to anyone else in the parking lot again. Done. It just was like this, oh, now I look at it that way. Yuck. So here was kind of that thing again. I was like, I don't care you were right. Like, you know, it's like someone throwing up and saying, "Come here, I'm throwing up. Come over here, get a little closer. I'm throwing up. I'm sharing some yuck. Come on." And I've been around people that have done that, and family members, and I've recognized that. And I'm like, okay, here I am, the best I've ever been, best version I've ever been, doing better than I've ever done. And I'm like, and then that, see, there's the awareness. Are you willing to take that deep of a look? An honest look at yourself every day, day after day. Because it's uncomfortable and can be embarrassing. And see, that's the struggle. It's not, oh, I'm working on myself, making money, feeling great. Now, what was the, you know, the takeaway? A little parched here. Is that in that moment, I'm like, I went from I'm right to I'm embarrassed to I don't want to do that anymore in a day and a half. I'm like, that's the fastest I've ever grown. Not fun, not familiar, way uncomfortable, embarrassing. I don't use that word a lot. But completely catapulted me ahead. And I'm like, why do I move so much faster through these things? Why do I feel better? How do I not beat myself up anymore? What that? And I'm like, action. It's like, I'm getting up. I'm meditating. I'm journaling. I'm working on the thing that I'm working on currently. You know, getting my workouts in, working out consistently, going to the park, doing yoga balances, you know, stretching. You know, I'm like, you know, reading, you know, I'm like doing all these things that make me a better me. Stop the voice, stop the dialogue. You know, when I do these things, I feel a little better after each time I do them, after each one I do. But then you add them up, multiply them, and do it day after day after day. I'm operating it out like my middle, my baseline has been raised. So am I going to make mistakes? Yeah. Am I going to have my beautiful monster moments? Yeah. Are those things going to come up and, you know, maybe I'll think one way and then I'll have a perspective shift? Yeah. But that's the path. That's, you know, welcome to the path of uncomfortableness. If you think you're going to be on a path of personal growth and not be uncomfortable, that's the biggest mistake you'll ever make. That's all it's going to be. And that's why the first time people meditate, they go, "Ah, I hated it. Why? I'm going nuts. I got so much, you know, stuff in my head." Like, yep. First time you look at it is a tough look. But hey, you looked at it. Second time won't be that hard. Third time won't be that hard. 100th time, it'll be way easier. 1,000th time, it'll be even easier. And see, that's that thing, that peeling it back. Trying to fill that old groove. Trying to, make another groove, dig another groove. You know, it just takes time and it takes effort. And so that's, again, that's what I'm sharing. That's why I share what I share. It's not, oh, overnight. Well, last week I was A, now I'm B. But here I am in the 8th, 9th year of my podcast at 58 going, here's what I'm working on. Here's what I recognize. Here's what I'm doing. And it just hit me one day and I said, you know, if I do A, I get A. You know, if I get up, I do the things that I do. If I, like my little solid day, I click one thing to the next thing to the next thing, I'm better. I operate better. I feel better. Do that day after day after day after day for like a month. Oh, done. Like, I got the answers. I'm good. It's going to take work. It's going to take effort. I'm not going to be perfect, but I know exactly what to work on. Or do B, get B. Don't. Don't do those things. Sit, bum out, worry, stress. Put time and energy into things that serve you. Go ahead. No one cares. If you do A, you're going to get A. If you do B, you're going to get B. And then emphatically, I shared that with Scott. We're going back about, you know, action. You got to, he's, you know, he's all about that. You can't sit there and think. Get up and do. That's all you got. Just get up and do and it'll change. He's right. And then he said, be A. Get A. And I'm like, well, there's Scotty Mosier in my life right there. A little better with the verbiage. But that was it. Be A. And I'm like, oh, I just love that. And that was actually going to be the title at one point. I'm like, I'm going to use that for a title. All right, moving right along. We, Zen's Recovery, it was so awesome. Again, this is the second time Zen's been hurt. So there was a little natural, automatic mental preparedness for this time. Okay, we can't do this. I know he's okay. He don't really care. I got a client coming up. But in it, because I wasn't stuck in my boohoo, I was just watching. I'm like, we're not walking as much and you're okay. I carry you up and down and you're okay. You can't, you know, it's like he was just fine in every moment. Now, it wasn't, you can tell when he's like excited and running zoomies. And it's, again, of course he wasn't there. But, okay, a dog can't complain, you know, can't whine. But just his demeanor. And because I was in that good place of being aware of him, it always affected me. I'm like, you know, Zen's doing this. Zen's handling it. You know, Zen's so good. And then he was like, oh, he's, you know, this is better. And then this phase. And again, that morning he was getting his stitches out. The morning of the day he was getting his stitches out. Full leg bandage. I'm using the orthopedic harness that morning, you know, helping him move along, walk, and, you know, go to the bathroom. We come in, we're chilling, we go to the vet, walk out of the vet. He's got no bandages on, stitches are out, and he's walking. Now, you know, he got a limp, but he's just like looking at me, his tail's wagging. He's like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, so we're like done? And then it was like kind of crazy because if you like fast forward, it was like week 5 where I was like, he was running. Like literally I started putting a leash on him so he wouldn't, like I was taking him to the park to kind of chill, but there would be other dogs there and I didn't want him taking off and starting to play too hard. So I was putting a leash on him for the first time to go somewhere just to stop him because he was doing so well. And then one day he's just like, you know, it's so crazy how he communicates, but he's like, okay, I'm going to run up the steps. And like, he just like got to the bottom and just looked at me and said, yeah, I got it. And I was like, I went, all right, and he just goes up the steps. And I was like, no way. Now, that's kind of been on and off because sometimes he's tired, so he'll kind of struggle a little bit. And then one day his right leg, the knee that was operated on, slips out to the side, and he kind of sinks back, and I'm walking ahead of him because I had some groceries. So I heard it. I turned around, and I see his right leg out sideways, and I see him kind of sitting down on the, like, the step below in his pot, like he slipped and kind of fell. And I'm like, if that's how you... you want to re-tear your ACL, that's exactly how you do it. And my heart completely like just clenched. And I put the groceries down and he kind of gathered himself and he got up the steps by himself. But I'm like, still, I could tell I wasn't breathing until my heart was clenched. And I'm watching him walk and I'm like, and it was like the worst, best test ever. Like if he was fine after that, his knee is fixed. Like just done, because that was like gnarly. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, for a little bit, like I don't know how long, I was just like making sure every time he moved it was like, okay, well now it's, you know, like he's cooled down or adrenaline is slowed, whatever it was, because you sit for a little bit and things kind of get worse. So, and I don't know again like what day it was, but like we went down and he just kind of did this run like to the back gate, just gentle and soft. And I was like, he just ran, and you know, just all of a sudden his fur's kind of growing back. And it was like, all of a sudden I'm walking around, people are like, he had like, I'm like, 4 weeks ago, that was kind of the thing. I was like, at the time of 4 weeks, he was walking around, people are like, didn't he have knee surgery? Like, and he was just like so good. Now, again, I made it through it. You know, I made it through that. There's kind of this thing I'm going to touch on about, you know, faith and belief. I was sharing with someone that at the time of my accident with Zen, I had this faith that there's like, you know, something bigger than me, something in charge that was like, look, I haven't done anything to still be here. My sister's gone. She had a bunch going, and, you know, Zen could be dead. I could be dead. And here we are, you know, reunited, and neither one of us with a scratch on. I was like, okay, well, someone else is in charge. I'm on the ride. And I was totally cool with that because, you know, I've struggled with my faith for a long time, but that was one of the moments that shifted it, going, okay, not everything's on my shoulders. It was just like that. It was just like, I don't have to carry all the weight. Because if it was like, okay, Tom, you're going to go through an accident, and I want you to save you and Zen and make sure neither one of you are scratched and you're okay, I couldn't do that. So the fact that that's happened, and my vehicle is completely crushed and totaled, and my dog ejected, and then we're totally reunited, and here we are together, you know, 6 years later, 7 years later from that. Okay, all right, you know. The belief in myself. That didn't work out. This hadn't worked out. It was kind of my mindset. That didn't work out. This didn't work out. So I was, you know, sharing with this friend of mine. I was like, I have more faith than I do belief in myself. Not like a bad thing, but that lately, just last couple weeks started changing because I started thinking, well, look what you've made it through. And you get old and you don't like, you want to be just, you know, uncomfortable, but I'm like, you've made it through a ton of stuff, you know, getting your black belt. You know, all the stuff you've done, relocating, the different jobs, different relationships. Look, I mean, look what you've gotten through and how hard you worked and the energy put in. And that just started kind of like opening up a little light going, well, that's who you are. These things you're working on will come. It'll be okay. You know, I mean, it's like, all right. I'm like, so there was this shift. And then when I kind of had this moment, I just wrote down May 2023. I just thought to myself, I'm like, how do you feel? And I went, first I got, at 50, I go, I'm 58. For 58, I feel good. And then I went, wait a minute. I don't want to say, well, for 58, I feel good. I just feel good. I know the noise. I know the dialogue. I know the voice. I know the judge. I know the critique. I know the critic. I know all that has happened in my life. All that has been there. And that's gone. I'm like, I'm just the best I've ever been. It's not 458 or over 50 or nothing. It's just, no, I just know right now I'm the best I've ever been. And again, I'm sharing all my beautiful monster stories, all my embarrassing stories, because that's part of the path. You know what the squeaky wheel is? Yay. You understand and are aware how hard it is to work on that squeaky wheel? Yay. You know how long it's going to take you? Yay. Now be thankful that you get to be uncomfortable and pursue that. Ta-da. And if you don't, then don't. Again, be A, get A, or don't. Almost to the end here. There's a TV series. I don't watch a lot of TV series, but I don't know why I even stumbled on it. It's called Power. And it was about teens, female teens, getting this gland that would allow them to have electricity in their hands, and where they would have this, the power to, you know, shoot it out and burn things down and blow things up and hurt people, all that kind of stuff. And I just got kind of, I mean, it wasn't that great of a TV show. I watched a few episodes, but I just loved the message. And at one point, this woman said this line, and she goes, to think that a young woman could walk alone anywhere at night and never be worried. And I was just like, and that was kind of like, you know, because they have to be, you know, like I think it's teenage females, like, is the highest suicide rate, you know, because of all the stuff that's been going on with, like, COVID and stuff. That's what I heard, I think. But I'm like, if you look at, you know, the population, you know, the females are the ones that have to be afraid of, you know, dick dudes. You know, it's like, but it's like, all of a sudden, if they had this power where they could just zap people like a taser, keep people, you know, bad dudes at bay, you know, no you know what I mean? And oh God, I was just like, I would totally, you know, I would, if that happened, you know, I'd be like, yay, go ahead, rock and roll, do it. Yay to that. So maybe check that out. Last two things. I'm on team tinnitus. Tinnitus is a little buzzing in your ear. Maybe you've heard about it. I Googled it for, a little while that night. And then I realized kind of what it was. No one really knows what caused it. No one knows really knows how to fix it. And it went to this thing where I've had floaties, those little black things you see forever. And it never bothered me. I mean, all right, that's what it is. Okay. And that was kind of a natural response. And it was with this, but there was also this gratitude. So I'm like, at my age, I know the bad that can come. I know the bad that can happen. You know what I mean? I know. You know, I'm like, my sister's not here. I'm highly aware of things that can creep up on you, you know, knock on your door and you didn't have them written down. So it's like, okay, now this, you have tinnitus, it's buzzing in the ear. It's got really nothing to do with, you know, kind of hearing. You can sleep. It can get way, I mean, for people, it can be way worse where they don't sleep. It could be horrible. I'm like, pfft. All right, I don't have a really bad thing. And the thing I have, tinnitus, isn't it a bad thing? So there's like this, again, I didn't bum when it, I woke up and I had it. I was like, all right. And like I looked into it and Hardwick's had it forever. And I'm like, well, if that dude couldn't get rid of it, you know, he's got all the resources in the world. And I'm like, okay. And I was just at peace with it. And again, there's that version I want to be. And this quote came up again, you know, be like water, Bruce Lee. And it's like, it just hit me differently again, how water would just move and hit something and just go around it. Okay, they're dropping off, you're dropping off your car. Okay, it's not getting fixed. Okay, get, you know, I don't have to be happy about it, but I could just move, you know, through my day like water. And here's the big win. I went, dropped off my car Monday morning, and the woman that was there and the young guy that was there were there when I was there the first time. And I just was, I didn't think about it. I didn't prep. I didn't do anything. It was just like what had transpired in my mind and heart came out. And I said to the woman, I wasn't going to apologize, you know, but I just said, hey, don't, you know, take it personal. I said, you know, I haven't had a great time with this place. And because she called me about something, and I was a little short with it. I was just tired of it. And so I just went, and she was like almost happy. And then the dude that I was also, you know, talking to kind of said, you know, I said, hey, just, you know, don't take that personal. I was going, he's like, no worries, man. Like they were both like surprised and they felt good. And I walked away going, and I'm like, well, that's, there's the best version of me. You know, and it was right there going, okay, that's who you can be. And that if I do it once, I know it's sustainable. I did that. I can be that guy. I didn't walk, you know, in, and I wasn't yelling, screaming. I wasn't all apologetic. I was just who I wanted to be in that moment. I didn't have to try. It just kind of happened. So like that, be like water. Now that's something that's kind of, you know, following me around. And again, and then this quote. I remember the beginning, well, this is from December 2021. I found this quote. And I'm like, I like that. Because Tom Brady said, if you want to impact the world, be the best version of you. And I was like, I can do that. What can I do about, you know, the poverty, the climate, the people without water, you know, women that are victims? What can I do about all that stuff? Nothing. Well, I want to impact the world. All right, be the best you. And I was like, there we go. Like, 2 + 2 = 4, I'm running. Don't need to talk about it. And this quote just hit me. To make living itself an art, that is the goal. By Henry Miller. To make living itself an art, that is the goal. Now, art is very personal. So my art will be different than yours. My path will be different than yours. But I thought, you know, I just love that. You know, like, to make living, just you being, make it an art. Just you be that good at you. Now, if you went from -5 to a +5, yay, I would say you are an artist at you. Now, that 5 walking the earth bumps into an 8 doing that, you might go, wow, they're doing that path way better than I'm doing yours. Well, that's something else you got to avoid. Don't compare. Don't reference. You know? It's just not how that works. So again, Sharon, that I'm way better. And sharing, being transparent about how I got here. And it really comes down to you just truly embracing the fact that you are worth it. Welcome to your Pro You moment. Stoked you're here. As always, let's begin to control the things that we can. Seated, legs folded if you can, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over hips, navel tucked into your spine, drawing the inhale through the nose, allowing the exhale out the mouth. We'll stay connected to that breath, connecting our mind to our body, connecting ourselves to that breath. We're going to stay there mentally. Being aware of the ebb and flow, the in and the out, and how we can slow it down and control it and direct it and focus on that, which will be different than anything that you focused on. So that's what will change you. Anything else enters your mind, kindly, calmly, ask it to leave, return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Thank you. Again, that's, you did that. You had to deem yourself worthy. You know? It's like 180 seconds. Yeah, but you still had to deem yourself worthy. Maybe you didn't feel that comfortable. And maybe you didn't even feel that great when you did it. But if you do it a few times, you understand there's the whole difference. There's a hole right there. If you choose to do something that is active, that is action, it will reduce the dialogue, it will reduce the noise, it will reduce the critic. It's like taking that little piece and going, okay, I'm going to add that to the puzzle today. Just that one piece. I did that thing. I did A and I got A. I was A and I got A. And now I can feel good. I don't have to judge and I don't have to critique. I can be out of my head. And that will give me peace and that will give me quiet. And if that's possible, it's achievable, it's sustainable. If I can do it once, I can do it again. And now I'm doing these little things consistently, but I'm building, adding more. And those little things are all adding and building a better me, bringing me closer to the higher self that I see myself being. You know, I definitely have moments. I'm like, okay, that was cool. Oh, you liked that. And there's also moments where, like, do you see that? Do you see how you not want that? Do you see how much you dislike that? I'm like, yep. And that's that growth, that deep, honest look. Just not easy. Not fun. But are you worth it? Just always comes down to how are you looking at you? How are you feeling about you? What do you want to do about you? I hope this helps. I hope my podcast helps. Peace and God bless.